Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
2 years ago in Aurora, Colorado, 23-year-old black man Elijah McClain died in police custody after he was put in a chokehold and injected with a powerful sedative. Now, a new state report finds that Aurora Police and Fire Rescue have routinely violated state and federal law. Here's Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser.
These actions are unacceptable. They hurt the people that law enforcement is entrusted to protect, and they destroy community trust.
Now we have Allison Sherry, justice reporter with Colorado Public Radio. And Allison, what do we learn in this report about who tends to get arrested in Aurora and what force is used?
Yeah, so, you know, state investigators found that Aurora police has engaged in racially biased policing and used inappropriate force against residents for the last 5 or so years. And I have some numbers here I'll go through quickly. Yeah. They found that use of force against people of color was used almost 2.5 times more than whites based on their relative percentage of the population. And nearly half of the people whom they used force against were black, even though black residents make up about 15% of the population. The other thing that this report found is that Aurora police arrested people of color 1.3 times more than whites based on the population.
Wow. I mean, those numbers are striking. I look quickly at this report, which is pretty comprehensive. It also goes into paramedics. We know that in Elijah McClain's case, the paramedics injected him with ketamine, the sedative. The autopsy was inconclusive as far as he died, but what does this report say about the illegal use of ketamine by first responders?
Yeah, because of McClain's death, the agency has halted its ketamine use. But investigators found that in the year before that, paramedics administered ketamine 22 times for this condition called excited delirium. And in more than half of those incidents, paramedics failed to follow ketamine monitoring protocols, like watching someone's heart rate, watching their breathing after they gave him the sedative. Investigators also found, and this happened with Elijah McClain, that they administered ketamine at times at doses way above the maximum allowed for that weight of the person. So weight is a big deal when you're administering ketamine, and they weren't getting the proper weight before giving them the dosage.
Yeah, why? And does this report go into the why here? Why this pattern and practice of illegal behavior? Are there kind of cultural reasons in the police and fire rescue here?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned cultural reasons, and I think that's a big part of it. It's hard to kind of get at whys in a police agency. But this report did talk a little bit about police training, which I thought was interesting, how the training academy for the Aurora Police Department has recently made a ton of changes. But before that, it was a little bit militaristic in style. The cadets were assigned, quote-unquote, battle buddies. They were yelled at, personally embarrassed for mistakes. They're not doing that anymore, but clearly a lot of people who came up and are current officers there went through this sort of, you know, training culture.
All right.
And I also think they've had a lot of leadership changes. They have a brand new police chief. A lot of the more experienced officers feel like there's been some mixed messages at the top.
All right, that's Allison Sherry, justice reporter with Colorado Public Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Allison recently talked with McClain's mother, Shanine McClain, about the ways her life has changed since she lost her son. Her report adds depth and context to these latest developments, so we'll hear that now. And a warning, some of the descriptions in this story are disturbing.
When Elijah McClain's death started becoming national news, many people expected his mother, Shanine McClain, to take a leading role in the protest movement against police violence. But she's clear that's not her path.
I'm not that kind of person, you know, to get on the bullhorn and lead a bunch of people down the street trying to fight for rights that we shouldn't have to fight for.
Still, in the 2 years since her son's death, she's become a force for change, both in Colorado and nationally.
For me, it comes down to the policies and the laws.
Shanine McClain's nightmare started the night of August 24th, 2019, when police in Aurora, Colorado, stopped her son as he was walking home from a convenience store after buying iced tea.
A caller told police they saw a suspicious man wearing a mask waving his arms at them.
When McLean didn't immediately follow an officer's commands, he was tackled to the ground, put in two carotid holds that cut off blood flow to his brain.
He says a crew with a roar of fire had to give McLean a sedative to calm him down, and that on his way to the hospital, he suffered a cardiac arrest. Paramedics say he regained his pulse and is now at the hospital.
At the time, Shanine McLean was homeless and living in a hotel with Elijah's siblings. She says police contacted her that night on a messaging app and said they needed to come get her, but refused to say why.
So they came to the hotel that I was at, and they put me in one police vehicle, and they put my two children in another police vehicle, and there was a police liaison, or the victim's advocate was there also. And when we got to the hospital, it still took another hour or so for them to let me see Elijah.
When she finally did get into his room, Shanine says Elijah wasn't in good shape. He was hooked up to a ventilator and had bubble wrap around his torso. His head was swollen, and there were tubes and machines coming out of his nose and mouth. His eyes were open a little, but not alert.
He didn't like rap music at all. His brain was not registering with the rap music at all. But once it got to violin and things that he was already into, it was a steady wave of his brain chemistry.
But after several days, doctors declared McLean brain dead and took him off life support. In the months following her son's death, Shanine McLean was achingly lonely. She held vigils near the spot where he died, a patch of weeds by the highway, which she decorated with little solar lights and artificial flowers from the dollar store.
As a single mom, doing everything I could to ensure that Elijah had a future so that he wouldn't end up a statistic. And then him being a statistic anyway felt like the world had rejected us, you know.
She hired a lawyer, but says there was more talking and media attention and interviews than actual change. She hadn't talked to anyone at the Aurora Police Department since the hospital. She didn't know where things stood. At that moment in 2019, the broader public was not focused on police brutality or violence.
Colorado was quiet. The politicians in Colorado were quiet.
That changed in the summer of 2020 after George Floyd's murder in Minneapolis.
You know, after George Floyd was murdered, there was a lot of internet searches, so to say. People started finding out that there was other people that were killed by police officers that didn't get that much attention as George Floyd. And so Elijah's name started circulating a lot more.
Shanine says finally people were listening to her son's story.
I was on Twitter, I was on Instagram, I was on YouTube, I was on Facebook, just, you know, pushing Elijah's murder story out there. And there was a lot of people that connected. There was a lot of people that connected via social media.
And many of them wanted to help somehow. McLean had started a GoFundMe a year before to help with funeral expenses, but had pretty much forgotten about it after that.
One of the activists, because apparently they were watching the GoFundMe more than I was, but one of the activists told me to look at the GoFundMe, and when I checked it out, it had $2.5 million in there.
Shanine McLean has been able to get stable. She bought a house outside of Aurora and a car. She also gave money to homeless organizations that helped her and her family through the years. Her son's notoriety continued to skyrocket across the world.
So when Naomi Osaka wore Elijah's name on a mask, that was awesome. When the coach from the Denver Nuggets wore Elijah's name on his shirt, that was awesome.
But the increasing attention also felt like she had lost control of her son's story. Protesters were using her son's name to promote causes that had nothing to do with him. She was getting cold called daily for donations from the GoFundMe. She discovered someone who had printed his last words on clothing and was selling it on Amazon.
So anybody who's profiting literally off of my son's murder are totally gross. And it's not just in the form of trying to make money off of his death. It's in the form of trying to use his name to gain notoriety for their own organizations, for their own events.
While all this was going on, Shanine McLean was getting active, not in the streets, but at the state capitol. She began to work on police reform legislation, a huge bill to ban chokeholds, mandate body cameras, and make it easier to hold officers personally liable. It was mostly inspired by her son's death and passed the Colorado State Legislature last year with wide bipartisan support.
It was emotional because I was told that they weren't able to pass that bill before Elijah's murder. And I think to myself, if that bill had to pass before Elijah's murder, Elijah would still be here.
Shanine counted this work as a victory, and she's kept at it. She's in frequent touch with Colorado Congressmen Jason Crow and Joe Neguse, working with them to pass federal police reform legislation that includes a ban on the powerful sedative ketamine's use during arrests. She filed a lawsuit against Aurora for her son's death. In the meantime, the new Aurora police chief has asked Shanine to speak to a class of incoming police officers.
I'm thinking about it, like I would have an opportunity to impact future police officers. It would be nice to think that they'll do the right thing, but they haven't been. You know, as a whole, they haven't been.
2 years after his death, Shanine McClain still talks to Elijah. She says sometimes when she's chatting with him, the television will come on. She says she doesn't have friends anymore, and she doesn't have much peace. But she does have a strong calling to make sure her son's life meant something, and that it will make the world better. For Here and Now, I'm Allison Sherry in Denver.